You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. It's Azura Rahman sitting in for Frida Liu. And yes, it's time to raise your game here on Enterprise. Now, this morning, continuing our performance by a character series is Joseph Tan from Good Morning Consulting, a licensed trainer of Character Fest. And today we are focusing on the character trait of alertness and responsibility. Now, Joseph, would you like to do a quick recap of last week's episode?
Sure. Speaking about alertness, Azura, it is Good Monday Consulting.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Good morning, everyone. Talking about character, as we spoke about attentiveness and initiative last week, I'd just like to give a quick preamble about what character training it's all about, as we aim to practice attentiveness and initiative, as we spoke about last week. Character training is really about resolving what to do, Azura, before the situation arises. A lot of us seems to be caught up in this way of thinking that says, I must feel good, I must feel right before I do that which is right. Character training, by virtue of the definition, says that we must choose to do what is right because it's right to do what's right. And sometimes consciously choosing to be attentive, consciously choosing to take initiative, may even contradict our feelings. Oh, I don't feel like doing it. Oh, that person is such a bother. But really, if we act according to standards of character and not according to feelings, a deeper sense of satisfaction would follow. So that's the background and the reason why we are doing this series, to remind us that we need to consciously decide beforehand what to do, and when the situation arises, we will be able to do it regardless of our personal feeling and preferences.
Now, going back to alertness, which you've tripped me up very early on today. What is the character definition of alertness then, Joseph? Let me know about that.
Okay, all right. Alertness is being aware of what is taking place around me so I can have the right responses. We spoke about attentiveness last week. Attentiveness is showing the worth of a person or task by giving my undivided concentration. Now, we bring in the character quality of alertness now, because you can be very attentive to what you are doing, but alertness means we must also be aware of what is going on around us. Because life is a series of incidences. Life is a series of signals that we need to interpret. So, for example, there are those who may wait for things to happen, or there might be those who watch what happened, and there are those who wonder what happened. So by being alert, it is a state of mind that encourages us from being just a mere spectator to being an active participant in life.
And you mentioned about being attentive to things and also at the same time concentrating on your task. But there's that danger of having that tunnel vision and not being alert to other things, obviously.
That's right.
Now, Joseph, next is, why is it so important to be alert?
You know, there were a team of doctors in this university hospital a number of years ago in the States, and they did a heart-lung transplant for this 17-year-old girl, and they had to do it twice.
And why is that so?
They had to do it twice because the original donor's blood type did not match. So the immune system of this 17-year-old girl rejected the transplant, and they had to redo it all over again, and they just wasted the first set of organs, all because certain people in the process were not alert to what needs to be done.
And put that life in danger as well.
Yeah, and thinking that somebody else would do it. So alertness really has a domino effect. You know, if I'm not alert in my job, I'm not alert towards my sense of duty, it will affect the next person in line. So alertness is the antidote towards self-absorption. Most of us tend to go to work sometimes being too absorbed with our own personal problems, being too carried away with our own set of struggles, that we forget to be alert to the things around us, things that could pose either a danger or an opportunity. That's why alertness is being aware of what is taking place around me so I can have the right responses.
So it's about being aware and caring about things that's other than pertaining just to you, but you're talking about self-absorption, but also other things that can affect you but not necessarily pertain to you.
That's right. Because one of the keys to practicing alertness is that we have got to tell those who are affected. In my many training situations, I've never encountered an organization where the employees complain to me and say that, Joseph, in this company, there's just too much communication. We over-communicate. You know, so being alert also means that we must learn to look beyond our job description. So, for example, if I'm a sales guy and if I see some quality problems, I must not just overlook it. I must be alert in such a way that I send this out as a signal to the quality department. I let the the incoming QA know about it. I communicate this to the purchasers and so on, so that I would alert and send out the signals before the problem takes place. Because any Tom, Dick and Harry can alert a problem when it has already taken place, but it takes a smart Harry to actually point it out before it happens, and that takes the quality of alertness.
And what are other ways of actually building alertness? You mentioned telling those who are affected. Any other methods then?
Well, there are a few more steps. One, in line with telling those who are affected, we must anticipate obstacles. We develop alertness much better if we were to understand what is the overall goal. So for example, if my overall goal as a marketing person is to increase market share, I must be alert every day to situations around me that might decrease the market share of the product that I'm trying to promote. So I must be able to anticipate obstacles, anticipate competition, so that I can take countermeasures before my competition acts or before anything adverse might happen. So anticipating obstacles is very important. And the next step that we could take in practicing alertness is to connect signals with meaning. Connect signals with meaning. And this goes beyond just our day-to-day job. Mm-hmm. It also goes into the area of relationships as well. Most of the time, I have managers coming to tell me and they say, hey, Joseph, I don't understand why I keep having high turnover. Why do my employees just quit on me like that? Actually, they did not decide to quit on you just overnight. There has been certain signals that have been sent to you on a regular basis. They come to work with a papaya face or they kind of put in a half-hearted work and you see them not being able to interact cheerfully with other people. These are little signals that we get every day. And an alert manager or an alert person would deal with it as he sees this signal and connect it with some meaning. Hey, I better talk to this employee before this affects the job.
There is a reason why he comes in with a long face. There's a reason why he's handing in his work late.
That's right. And there's a reason why my wife will not talk to me. You know? Why is it that my wife refused to talk to me? It's not just tiredness. So I must be able to connect the signal with the meaning. Maybe I forgot the wedding anniversary. Which happened to me once.
Oh, dear.
Moving
on.
That's another story.
Another step is, I believe, act immediately. Because once you read the signals, act upon it.
That's right. And there is a special, I would say, a special effectiveness that's involved if we act in the day that we hear of it. Meaning that once you hear of a certain problem or a certain crisis, do not procrastinate. The faster you act, the more serious attention it will be given to. Meaning don't procrastinate. For example, if I were to come to you with a certain problem and say that, hey, you know, the customer complained about this particular defect in the product and it was 1 year ago.
Mm.
You know, it's 1 year ago and why did you not highlight it to me earlier so that action could be taken?
Because that problem is festering away in the background.
That's right. And nothing's being done about it. And problem compounds upon problem. So not only do we need to be alert, we need to act immediately, especially if it pertains to issues of misbehavior.
I see.
You know, I have a particular client where this manager was complaining about one of his subordinates that uses a lot of foul language in the office. And he has been doing it for years.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got into deeper conversation, we realized that he started using the foul language since day one. And when he used it on day one, no one highlighted the misbehavior to him. So he came to the office the second day and he used it a little bit more. The third day, he used it a little bit more. So since the manager was not alert to act immediately, that foul language was accepted to be part of the company culture.
And it becomes acceptable behavior when in actuality it isn't.
Yeah, if we had acted immediately. So when it comes to misbehavior, the rule of thumb is act quickly.
But sometimes you need to take time a bit more, Joseph. Take time to analyze. I believe that's another key step in developing alertness. And how does that work?
Well, I like this definition of wisdom that someone once stated. It says that wisdom doesn't come from old age. Wisdom comes from the ability to observe. Wisdom comes from the ability to observe. It means a habit of being able to learn from life. Someone once said, if you want to get wisdom, get it as cheaply as possible, meaning learn from other people instead of having to make the mistakes yourself. So one of the ways to help us become more alert and to learn from life, I would encourage that we take a regular habit to do journaling, to learn to write down your thoughts on a regular basis. And because, you know, we are in a type of a rat race, and sometimes we just run the treadmill and we just go through life over and over and over again, that we don't take time to take stock. And one of the practical ways to take stock of where we are, where we need to be, is to learn to journal, learn to write down your thoughts and be alert to some of the signals that's going on. Why am I feeling this way? Why am I having stress? Why is it that certain relationships are not working? And sometimes by putting down your thoughts on paper, you're alert to what's going on inside and you can have the right responses thereafter.
Or perhaps it's modern day equivalent blogging, I suppose.
Yeah, blogging, yeah.
As long as you don't do it during work hours.
Yeah, that's right. During work hours, be alert to your job description.
I'm speaking to Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting, continuing our Performance by Character series. And when we come back, we'll be delving deeper into the trait of alertness and also responsibility on Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9 is Azura Rahman on Raise Your Game, and I'm speaking to Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting in our Performance by Character series, and we were talking about alertness earlier on, and now we are moving to responsibility. But before we go into that, Joseph, you mentioned to me earlier before that there is a possibility of being too alert, and you're being alert over other people's jurisdiction. How does that work?
Well, There is a real neat term that describes someone who is overly alert. It is someone who is a busybody. Now, alertness must be balanced with a sense of responsibility, meaning that, you know, we only have this much time and this much energy and resources. So we must be alert to what is within our jurisdiction. We must be alert to whatever is our scope of responsibility and influence, or else we will spend more time gossiping than communicating, you know, when we are alert to things that are not part of our
job scope. So don't be a busybody.
That's right.
Now, what is the character definition of responsibility then, Joseph?
All right. So we're talking about responsibility right now as a counterbalance to alertness. We must be alert and yet at the same time realize what is our responsibility. And the character trait of responsibility is defined as knowing and doing what is expected of me. And Azura, do you know what is the number one killer of relationships?
Miscommunication, perhaps?
Well, that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the number one killer of relationships are expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Because conflicts, by and large, are caused by letdown in expectations. I expected you to do it. And sometimes this expectation could be spoken or could be silent. And when we have a letdown in expectations, that's when conflict starts. That's when the relationship meltdown starts to occur. So expectations are the killer of relationships. Responsibility, on the other hand, says that I know and I will do what is expected of me. So a responsible person is a reliable person. A responsible person is a dependable person. By and large, if you see people who have got great relationships, people who are able to solicit trust, when you drill down to their root character quality, you'll find that personal responsibility plays a big part. This person knows what is expected of him, and he does it.
So it's not just about knowing, but actually acting upon it.
That's right. That's right.
So how do you actually develop this? What are some of the key steps in developing responsibility?
Well, number one is that we need to know and do our duty. Responsibility is one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is duty. This is quite a hilarious observation. I had one engineering director who told me, and he said this, you know, Joseph, nowadays in this new generation of employees that I hire, typically they come to the interview displaying to me their strings of ace and distinction that they have earned in their university days, and they feel that they have done all their duty and all the hard work in coming up with the string of ace, and when they step into the company, it's payback time. Where's my big cubicle? Where's the covered car park? Where's my compensation? You know, where are the perks and where are the benefits? And we are seeing a generation of workers that is coming into the marketplace that is more concerned with entitlement than their sense of duty. I remember when I went for my first interview, the question of salary and benefits was
didn't come to play.
Yeah, I had to clarify responsibility. I had to clarify duties. So the character trait of responsibility reminds us that it is duty first.
Mm-hmm.
Duty first. Rewards and recognition comes as a byproduct.
So if you execute that duty, obviously the compensation will come along with it.
That's right. That's right. It's what Covey says, the law, the harvest principle. You will reap what you sow.
And what's the next step in actually becoming a more responsible person then?
There are a few more practical steps, Azura. Secondly, we have got to learn on how to be accountable. To be accountable. You know, during our school days, you could actually get by your school days by being a lone ranger. I mean, basically during my school days, I study on my own, I do everything on my own. But when you come into the working world, when you step into the marketplace, so to speak, you realize that good performance, even your own performance at the job, it's a series of connected dots. You know, what you do affect other people, and what other people affect you as well. So we need to be accountable. We need to... it's easy for us to take credit when things go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But when things don't go so right, not many people are accountable, and they stand up and say, okay, I have let you down because I did not fulfill my responsibility here, and I will be accountable. This A word is very sorely lacking nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
People who are accountable, people who would own up.
And take the hit.
That's right.
What about other steps then, Joseph?
Well, in line with being accountable, we must also learn not to make excuses. Don't play the blame game. And we have got to accept responsibility for our decisions. And when something happens during our watch, we have got to answer for it, and we got to determine how to address it. I have seen many meetings being conducted, and you will find that half of the meeting is spent deciding who gets the blame. You see? So we have got to get away from the blame game, and each person to own up to their own scope of responsibility. And of course, making commitments is also very important. One of the outcome of keeping our commitments, of saying what we mean and meaning what we say, is that we will earn a good reputation.
What do you think of that saying where you should under-promise and then over-deliver, though? And how does that tie in about you being a responsible person who would fulfill your duty?
Well, I won't say under-promise. I would say we have got to promise right. You know, we have got to promise and give a commitment that is right according to what we can deliver and do it. You know, because every commitment fulfilled is an extra brick added to your wall of reputation. And as one proverb says, you know, a good name is better than silver or gold. So that's why companies who have been in the industry for some time will not get into certain deals, although they know it will earn them millions of dollars or ringgit, because it will tarnish their reputation. Because reputation takes time to build. And premise upon that reputation is that scope of personal responsibility.
And I suppose in line with that, you should to do your best. Yeah. Rather than under-promise, just do what's required of you more than anything else.
For example, there was this particular individual in my training who mentioned that when he was a secondary school student, he had hordes of friends who were getting, you know, 100 ringgit for every A they achieve in the school exams and so on. And they were being rewarded for performing, you know, for bringing in good exam results. And one day he had a string of A's, and he brought his report card to his dad, and he was recounting this incident to us. And he told us, saying that, you know, my father did not give me money in return to the good results that I showed him. All he did was he showed me the thumbs up sign, and he said, "Son, well done. Well done." And this particular individual says that for some reason that stuck to him, and he still remember it till this day. And that kind of sums up the character quality of responsibility, because the act of being responsible must be a reward in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Where are the days where people will put in a day's worth of hard work because it is their responsibility? Where are the days where people will put in, you know, all of their effort in the work because it is the right thing to do? And there's a deep sense of satisfaction that comes from having a job well done. You know, nowadays, if you ask an employee to do something, sometimes it's very hurtful if you get a remark like, "What's in it for me? Show me the money first. Where's the bonus?"
The motivation's not in the right place.
Yeah, there. That's right. So the character trait of responsibility is best exhibited when the motivation itself is intrinsic within the very act that is demonstrated.
All right, now, Joseph, any more final words on these character traits of responsibility and alertness for today?
Well, the final word is for us to be responsible, knowing and doing what is expected of me, is we have got to work as though we are being watched. Learn to inspect your own work. Learn to be accountable for the standard of the work that you produced. And learn to enjoy the deep satisfaction that comes from a job well done, instead of having to always attach a mentality of reward for everything that you need to do. And if you need more information, my website is always available, goodmonday.com.
Good Monday, not good morning. And on that note, I've been speaking to Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting. Here we go. And he's also a licensed trainer of Character Fest in our Performance by Character series on Raise Your Game. And tomorrow we'll be speaking to Eric Feng, speaker and author, who returns to speak about his new book, Get to the Point, on Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.